To the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode 4. Our air date is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm your host, C. Willie. I'm here with
Corby.
And we have a very big treat for us tonight. We have our special guest, Wisher, on the show. For those of you who have heard them, you know what I'm saying when I say this is a dynamic band. This is one of the most fun that I ever have seen live. These folks bring it. They flat out bring it. Kaylee Kahn and the gang, how you doing tonight?
My name is Ann.
My middle name is Ann, so that's why I tagged that K on there.
There you go, because you can.
Yes.
And you do it. Kaylee, can you introduce the rest of the gang for me?
All right, so to my left in red is Noah Boa Sticks. Over there is Jake Hilliker. His nicknames are changing. He was Jake of Snakes. Jake the Snake. He can't be Jake the Snake because there's already a Jake the Snake. So he plays the big guitar, and he's got heavy hands. So heavy hands Hilliker, I guess.
All right, that works.
And Emily.
She will play the little guitar.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a competition there.
No.
So
lead.
Compensate.
So she's asked to say.
This is indeed Wisher. You know, like I say, you've been a big name on the east side of Michigan for quite some time. The band's undergone some transformation since you and I first met. Since we first were associated with the original Vehicle City Sound, there's been a lot that's gone on. Tell me a little bit about the history and what's happened.
Yeah, so the band. Majority of the band met at Dime, which is where me and Drake and Jake and Noah met. But Drake didn't enter Wisher until very recently. But he's been around and he's played with us. People have seen him live with us many times, regardless. He's been a close friend to us. The main core of the group has always been Jake, me, and Noah, and Mole, who passed away in 2021. It sucks that he's not here with us, but I can't help but feel like he's had some influence in the trajectory of the band. Like, I like to think that he's watching over and making things better, because Emily came out of nowhere, and she's got a lot of really cool influences that remind me of Mole sometimes, and her ability to play his solos to the justice of how he wrote them is awesome, and I really... feel like he lined things up from the other side somehow, because I know
he brought you guys together
for me for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're Detroit based for sure because we met in Detroit. So
about as Detroit based as it gets, really.
Yeah,
that is.
Can you give us the backstory of where the name Wisher came from?
Yeah, Kaleido inspired that. There was a time before Wisher was ever a thing, and I was in the Cover Bandits, and people after Cover Bandits shows always asked me if I had an original project. I didn't, and I put it off for a long time because I wasn't really sure, and I didn't want to be solo. So I was recording with a guy in a studio in Southfield. The project has never seen daylight. He didn't end up using the song that I wrote, but Kaleido was rehearsing in the same building, I guess. I didn't know who Kaleido was. And the producer was like, hey, do you want to meet Christina Chris and Kaleido? They're rehearsing in the other room. And I was like, I don't even know who that is, but okay, cool. So I went down the hallway and I met all them. And there was something about when I met Christina where she was like, I told her that I was in a cover band because she asked if I was in a band. I said, yeah, I'm just doing an original extra thing here, but I'm in a cover band. She goes, oh, I was in a cover band too. And there's something about the way she said it that kind of lit a fire under me that was like, oh, I can not just be in a cover band too then. And I looked her up online after meeting her. I was like, oh my God, this chick is so badass. Like, I did research into Kaleido and I was like, I can't believe who I just met. And so I started writing a song that's also never seen daylight, and I was going to call the song Wisher. The original name of the band was almost Dear Dawn, and the logo was very similar. I asked Mole if he could help me create, like, a planetary-looking, like, sunrise-type thing, like the peak of sunrise, the little arch thing. And I have an original photo of Dear Dawn in the same font that the original Wisher was in. But I wrote a song that I was going to call Wisher because I was wishing that I was like Christina Chris and doing what she was doing. And Mole looked at me and was like, I think that should be the name of the band. And then I looked it up in the copyright office. I did the research I was supposed to do, and it ended up it ended up being mine to take. Well, I took it.
So, Kaylee, I said something at the beginning of the show about the energy that you guys bring. It's second to none. I have been to a lot of rock and roll shows. I have been to one show where the female lead just takes over the room the way you do. What does it feel like? What's your drive and your passion for doing that?
That's all I got, my friends.
That rocks.
That's any professional musician who really has a passion for what they're doing. It's not a smoke show. It's you're a vessel for another thing. And I have to say that it's Todd because that's what it feels like, a food thing. I think there's some people who are possessed by a bad thing, not their performing.
Yeah. Well, that happens. That happens too. Yeah. But you have a unique ability to get a room right on your side. And the way you engage the people that are there, the way that you get people involved in your performance is really quite remarkable.
Thank you. You know,
well, we love to see it.
You're always complimenting me so much. It took a lot of work to get to this point. I think I posted my first cover band show compared to a recent Wisher show. I think it was Success Fest when Jake wasn't even playing with us. It was actually Freak and Ben from LFA. They were playing Jitsi Goddess Fest with us, and I compared the video side by side. And, you know, it's just... It's so different. Like, I was, like, standing in front of the iPad with my stand-up, and, like, the most movement I would do is, like, this.
While I was standing, little shoulders, and that's it.
to completely feeling comfortable doing what I'm supposed to do. It's when I really clicked in with who I am supposed to be. And honestly, I think my sobriety has been a huge factor in, like, me getting myself together and really connecting with who I am as a performer and what I'm supposed to be. Because that energy was there even when I was drinking, but I think I'm more myself than I've ever been, and which gives me more energy on stage being myself, you know. For sure.
How long has it been?
I think it's 2 years and, like, 8 months.
Good for you.
That's fantastic.
Kaylee, yeah. That's absolutely wonderful.
I thank Noah for that. Noah's a really healthy influence on me in regards to my sobriety and making me a better person, challenging me to be a better performer, and striving for excellence. Noah has a very competitive edge to him. You know, he was going to be in basketball, you know, before he decided he wanted to do music. And he's an excellent basketball player and thought about playing in college and stuff. And he's got a serious competitive drive that inspires me all the time and makes me, you know, go at it from the approach of an athlete. Like, as a front woman, I'm thinking about it like an athlete. And that's really whenever I go to the gym or I work out, I'm thinking about, how can I dance and sing and run upstairs if I ever need to in the arena setting and be the kind of performer that deserves to be on an arena setting?
Well, tell us a little bit about the single that you got out of Crocata.
Crocata? That's Noah's thing.
Noah, tell us a little bit about it.
Crocata. In terms of where my musical inspiration comes from, I'm the most inspired by foreign music, like European metal, like symphonic power metal, like that realm.
Mm-hmm.
Always been like my thing. And just in terms of drumming, like purely, it's the most fun for me because it's just however fast you can go and how many notes you can play within like a 3 to 4 minute time frame, which is my favorite type of stuff. I'm not technical. I'm not, you know, like somebody who pays attention to, oh, well, my dynamics are this and my technique is this. And oh, I got, oh, like that's an inverted double. And like, I don't care. And, like, I am not, yeah. Like, I just.
So, how did that inspire me?
Well, because that's the style the song was written. Is uh-huh. that, like, that style. I wanted to write something that was reminiscent of that power metal, symphonic, up tempo, fast paced style. And the word, like, crocata is a Greek word. And it's basically a creature in Greek mythology, like, you know, and Hercules would fight the Minotaur, Cerberus, the three-headed dog that guards the underworld. It's like one of those, except it was a hyena. And one of its abilities was the ability to imitate human voices, which was the way that it drew its prey to it. Like, it would take the shape verbally, like, obviously while hidden, to be somebody that person maybe do, like a close family relative or a friend, somebody's voice that they were really familiar with, so that it could draw that person near to them, and then obviously kill them. that's the backstory on the song.
We'll make it censored for that.
Oh, I think we'll be fine.
I really don't care.
It's turning into Color Lion now.
Whatever.
It sounds like a lot of the Netflix series that Quarter Peep and I have been watching recently.
Nightmares forever.
That's just Creed Odyssey. There's like a Greek myth. It's one of the creatures you fight in the video game. And I was like, oh, that sounds like the song.
Like video games in Wisher.
All right. Why don't we give this a listen? This is Wisher with Crocata.
Tell me how.
do. Tell me how you want it and I'll make a mess for you. If you tell me how I move, how you want me to, how you want me to move.
All right, that was Wisher and Kokata, and there's some power behind that.
There is, and I just added that to my playlist.
Yes, it right
it
is there.
It's there.
So you guys, you mentioned a strong connection for the whole group of you with the Detroit Institute of Music Education. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think Chief should talk.
Yeah, well, so when I left high school, I definitely wanted to pursue a career in music, and I thought that going to a regular college and taking a music course wasn't a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a school that really focused solely on music, and Dime seemed to be a really great fit for me. And I remember very specifically my first day there, I was like, I'm terrible at making new friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I found this guy, and he just kind of, hey, I'm terrible at making new friends too. Let's get started. And he's now. Like, we all got lunch after the first case, and we're talking about, like, battle and stuff.
Yeah.
I met a bunch of my best friends there. I met Drake there. I met Bailey there. Kaylee joined a little bit after us. Was it a whole year after each
other? Yeah,
it was
a year.
Yeah.
She came a little later. But then, during the whole COVID thing, that kind of fell apart. We were doing, like, online classes for a bit, but it wasn't really a great way to get a music education.
Yeah.
You feel like music is something you have to teach to someone that's in the same room as you.
You haven't been there.
It's not like you can jam with someone on a Skype call. Like, there's getting everything. But also, I kind of wanted to take it as an opportunity to do some other things. I went to culinary school, did a lot of other stuff. But now I'm kind of at a point in my life where I can do music and, you know, everything else at the same time. And I still think it was a really great call going to Dime, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have met all these wonderful people.
Yes.
You brought your band together.
Exactly. You really did.
I agree. I have a lot of my own opinions about Dime, both positive and negative, but he's right about that. Like, he's right about the fact that none of us would have even, like, probably even be aware of the other's existence.
Well, I think about it.
Yes.
Yeah, really, us who didn't go through it all and graduate all the way
with a strategy.
Anybody who's ever been to Dime, we're all still talking to each other and supporting each other as a people community.
This kind of big community.
Well, most of us. I hate some.
Oh, the truth comes out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've found tons of calls from just people I haven't talked to in years that went to Dime and they're like, hey, do you want to play bass for me for a gig? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So it's just a really great group of people.
It's a true community.
Lessons from one of my teachers, too, just privately. And then, yeah.
I stay in contact with my music business teacher, too. I bought her music planner, Steph Belcher. She's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't really stayed in contact with my teacher. I'd stay in contact with a few people, obviously, in the drum department, too, but my teachers, regardless of the level of communication, were amazing. I mean, I had Eric Gaston, who goes by
Ringman,
and he was a drummer. He's currently the drummer right now for Charlie Wilson, and he's played with Bruno Mars. He's played all over the globe, so he was really good. And Nate Wing, who's an incredible jazz drummer, they were both my primary teachers when I was there, so regardless of the communication level, I still took a lot away from that. And I still utilize a lot of the lessons that I've taught now. I mean, it's the most fundamental I can call myself. Because, again, I'm very technical with eight. Like, the most fundamentals I ever learned came from the two of them.
And Ellie wanted to build that.
Yes, she wanted to build that. Well, let me start now. In the secret, right? In an alternate group, apart from this one, Helene's also part of his knife fit.
Yes.
So really, it's responsible for bringing all of you together. It's responsible for the community that you all are a part of now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the best part about it, honestly.
Yeah, we were like the main metal kids there.
Yeah, I have two of those. He's done
that. No, funny. You know I got connected is because I didn't know anybody else that was doing heavy metal, and we were talking about the Bellstrom song for the end of turn show, and everybody else was like a rapper, producer, or whatever, and I know,
Yeah, everyone thought I was a joke.
It was not.
You so are.
They didn't like the genre?
It just wasn't as common to find people there that did like the genre. The LFA people, they were more into grunge and stuff.
Yeah, aren't you, Brock?
Sure.
Yeah, that was kind of, it was like they didn't like it, or they didn't accept what we wanted to do. It was just more of like, it's Detroit, it's Motown, blues, R&B, like that's the primary focus. And that was a lot of what the school, you know, was centered on. Just based on the clientele that it brought in. I mean, that was a lot of the inspiration behind a lot of the
school. Those students were very
perfect, were those genres.
And mainstream-wise, it's the same thing.
Rock and metal has always been on, like, the underbelly. Like, they haven't always been at the forefront. I mean, there were a few times, obviously, in history where it was more prominent than it is now. But it's always been like, oh, there's mainstream pop, and there's hip-hop, and there's rap. And rock and metal has always come after that. Which is part of the reason why I've always been drawn to it.
Yeah.
Because it's the underdog.
It's
the
fringe
kind of style that is like that, you know, we're going to be who we are and we're going to be unapologetic about it. They don't care about the unapologetic arriving.
We just want to do what we love to do. We don't care about, you know, selling out,
writing a pop song for the sake of being vibey. But we want to write music that we enjoy doing. And if people love it as much as we do, well, that's why we do it.
Well, and that it definitely shows on stage. It definitely shows in your performances.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for saying that. We perform the way that we do. And like when people come to our show, it's like, well, you guys look like you're having fun up there. And
yeah, we are. That's the point.
We're not just doing it, you know, to make money or something. We're not like playing.
Definitely not.
Yeah, no.
These are songs we put our heart and soul into, and so I feel like if we don't completely sell it to the audience, they're not going to care about it either.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the process with you then, because I know a lot of what you're doing is your original stuff. I've heard you do a few covers. I know that still happens, but you're much more than most bands that we would see on a Saturday night at the festival or wherever we may be. You're much more your own music. What's the process with that?
Oh, it's all brand new now.
Right.
Yeah. The process has transformed, but it is essentially the same as you all jam. You learn the covers together, and then you all get a feel of what you like, where you want to go with the vision, and, you know.
Right.
I think Drake is a big deal in terms of songwriting.
I was going to say, we basically have like an assembly line process. Models to come up with a riff. Yeah, and then we just like try to figure out what they're doing.
Or like just short and subtle. It's like the chorus, and then I worked on the chorus with Jake and Noah, and then brought it to them. And Drake is calling it a Frankenstein chord. It is. I mean, we just kind of we're trying to figure out our Power Ranger formation here.
You got it.
I would say.
But yes,
it's a chorus that I wouldn't conventionally write if I was just approaching it myself. But then after those two were gone, I brought it to me, and I was like, oh, all right. Well, this is cool. Yeah. That's what I like about it is pretty much every song that we've written together as this unit, each one of us has kind of left our mark on it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, it is stylistically like Drink and Emily, not even just them, like all of us, really. Like, we have so many different, like, I was talking about my influences being like the European net, but that's all of theirs are all over the map. It's all different. I mean, all the different music. Drake is blues. Emily is like, you know, it's like Emma's dancing. Alice in Chains. Jake is like Metallica, Iron Led Zeppelin, Rush. Taylor's like every single thing. Like, all of that coming together, it's like, it's so hard to create something that's truly original because you're inspired for something. Like, no matter what. But this, the unique, like, consortium of everyone's life.
It's
like, name this episode Consortium.
That we think we will.
I'm just saying. The way that's all, like, together, but all of those individual styles, like, clashing together, like, they clash, but then they mold. It's like, they come together, and they're, like, trying to find the indents, like a puzzle, where you can, like, stitch it together. And it's, like, hard at first, because we're not always sure, like, what each other is trying to do, trying to say, like, direction-wise. But when it does fit, it's like, oh, wow, this is, like, something that is unique to us. Because there's no other way that, like, if we all thought the same way about what we were doing,
Really,
you wouldn't be especially
really boring. Yeah. It would be boring.
It is. It's when we all have so many different influences that when we put something together, you can't really tell where it's from.
Yeah, like, you can't play a new note, you know?
Right.
There's no H note. The way it must be. The way it's compounded or constructed is, you know, that's always going to be like the original side. It has that person's unique individuality.
That
is always immediately still.
You've definitely nailed that congealed of all of your talents. It's certainly, and I think that's what makes Wisher unique. You are taking all of these influences and you're making them your own. And, you know, for any band that can do that, that's an outstanding feat. So we got another one to play here. This is Liar Liar. Tell us a little bit about this one.
So that's an oldie. That's the last song that Mole recorded dying with us before he passed away. And the other players on it are Johnny Neville from LC Banks and Phil. Kind of say his last name. Sorry, Phil, if I messed up your last name. And we recorded that at the Sound Shop. Darren Chris helped record on that too. But that song was just us trying to find the next Elevation Wisher, and it's a cool song. I like the ability to get the crowd involved with it, but overall, I'm kind of like, we're moving a little bit more away from that, but it is a clear display of how we evolved from the Basement EP.
Yes.
Right.
And then into Crocana, and then what we've got next is going to be this group.
And yeah, I think it's more about just, like, you know, improving on the sound quality. Was the biggest sound quality, but also the genre too, because
defining yourself.
I don't feel like Liar Liar sounds like something that this lineup would bring. No, see, that's the line, Jeff. That's what you can tell. Like, when people listen to this after listening to Crocada, there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
But we want them to hear, you know, what this all sounds like compared to, I mean, and this doesn't mean like what we did before was even that. It's just more of how it's the creative process has, you know, changed.
The comparison of the two gives us an idea of the evolution of the band.
Yes.
Yes, and this was still, like, I'm proud of this song at, like, this version. I mean, we wrote this song already. It was originally on the EP.
Yeah, you can hear the original EP version, which is much different.
But I don't want people to hear that one because my drumming on it sucks. It's not. That's why I primarily like this new version.
All right, well, let's give this new version a listen here. This is Wisher with Liar Liar. Hey, listen, I know as we're wrapping things up here tonight, you got some exciting things that are on the horizon here. I know you've been in conversation with some management and promotion direction. Tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Okay, so I'll clear that up real quick. So, the way this, I guess, is going about is I've been in contact with a touring promoter. I met this guy because someone we knew saw us play Show with the Bees at the sign. She was talking about how she was looking for certain bands in the Detroit area to open up for these two bands that this certain touring promoter was going to bring to Detroit. And they wanted a local support who, like, kind of complimented the style. And it recommended us to this touring promoter who I've been talking with back and forth. The issue has been finding a venue in Detroit that will take all three of these bands. And he's been, like, being contacted by absolutely nobody, he said. Like,
that's what I was telling you, a date to him and a good festival.
So it was, we're trying to find a good venue for sometime in mid-July, but it's just been...
The tentative dates are July 6th and 7th right now, but the tour's still being planned.
So is that... If you know of any venue that might be open those dates who want to survive metal dance to play...
The wheels might start turning here in a little bit. Let's see what we can do. The notes just covered up the camera. It's more of the transformation. It's more of the development of the band.
Yes. Ideally, it's going to lead to more opportunities for us, and we're banking on that. So we're really doing a lot to get ourselves together and the best version that we can be. And it's really great that all of us are such good friends and we are really well tempered. So we've been able to, like, work through our differences and have good, healthy conversations. Except Noah.
I can say, personally, from my standpoint, it's been an awful lot of fun to watch the development. And see where you guys were even a couple of years ago when we first met to where you are today is it's dramatic, and I love it.
Hell yeah. That's what I just want to keep
going. Keep getting better. Steps up. So tell us, people want to find out where your shows are. People want to find out how they can get in contact with you and hear more. Where do they go?
Well, you finally have a website. It is live. It's wisherbandofficial.com, where you can find all our music, our social media links. We have new business cards, which, where's your wallet?
Like a Capital One commercial.
It does.
Everything Wisher on.
I don't have my wallet.
And that is our...
Yes, you have everything Wisher on spot.
I'll take you to anything else Wisher related that you need to go through.
No,
fantastic. Tell us the name of that site one more time.
WisherBandOfficial.com.
That's where our folks are going to find them. Listen, guys, another very enjoyable time. Love your music, and thank you so much for being a part of the show.
We didn't even have you guys.
Having us.
Absolutely. Quarter Peep, who do we have next week?
Yeah, so next week we have a Nashville recording artist, Sky Riley. I can't wait to talk to her.
We're looking forward to that as well. Gang, I think that's a wrap on the show. We'd like to thank our special guest, Wisher. Thank you guys again so much for being a part of this.
Me too.
And for all of you out there in podcast land, don't forget to follow us on Spotify. Check us out on Facebook. We are Vehicle City Sound on Facebook. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can always drop us an email, vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. Thanks again to Wisher.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to hearing more from you guys. All right, everybody. Be good.